This week on the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast, it's finally happened. Bowser has taken over Nintendo. We talk about the Nintendo Switch Online Battle Royale game Tetris 99, and Travis Touchdown strikes back with the game that's subtitled as, but isn't, No More Heroes? Hey, Vink, you all right, man? What's going on?
I just wasn't Reggie.
Yeah, I mean, you've never been Reggie, so...
How can you ever be Reggie for something like this?
Like what?
He came to kick ass and play games, and now he's all out of ass.
Oh, Reggie's retiring.
He is. I had
at the ripe old age of 57.
Right? Come on, man. No, I'm sorry. That's the jealousy snapped me back into it. Okay.
How much younger are? Oh no.
I know, right? Right? Like when he started doing this, he was younger than what we are now, right?
Oh. God.
Right? No, how many years has been it? No. You know what? No, we're not going to think about it. We're not going to think about it. We're not going to think because we were successful too.
Really? Because yeah. I was there the whole time.
You know, listen, I'm basically like Reggie.
Oh, yeah.
In the fact that one time I tweeted something and Doug Bowser retweeted it.
Yeah.
Yep. He retweeted it. Yep. Just like he would probably retweet Reggie, who I'm almost the same as. All right. Let's start at the beginning.
Beginning. Try again. You can support the Famicom Dojo video game podcast and web series. Consider pledging to our Patreon today. You might even get a t-shirt. Once you've pledged for long enough, we'll invite you to take your pick of any of the t-shirts available on our Teespring account or from the FamicomDojo.tv store, which we'll reorder for you even if we're out of your size. That's how much your support means to us. Just head over to patreon.com/FamicomDojo for more details. You also get other great benefits such as shoutouts on this very podcast for new pledges. Speaking of which, we'd like to thank our ongoing Dojo Disciples for the month of September 2019. Alana Dunitz, Earl Grey III, Brady Cashin, Paul Spicknall, Daniel Hathcock, Lena, Chris Berkland, Psycho Lavas, and Colin Swinburne. Even if you can only give $1 as your pledge, that's better than an ad. So I want to thank you, our listeners and viewers, past, present, and hopefully future, for all of your support because we couldn't do the show without you.
Okay, so Reggie, who is this guy? Who's the Reginator, the one of so many memes? My body is ready. Who is this guy and why should we care?
What is it you say you do here?
I mean, let's go back. This was during a time when Nintendo wasn't thriving so well. This is GameCube generation before the DS, right? That's when Reggie came on the scene, right?
It's got to be at this point. I've honestly forgotten it's been so long.
Like, this is a time when this is before YouTube. So, like, I remember seeing this keynote, but it was probably like it was either recaps of it or something, you know, because like probably I didn't watch it live,
right?
But this guy came in. I don't even remember who he replaced because it wasn't someone who, you know, I didn't really follow company people, you know, before before that, and he came on, and I believe he, at that time he was like a senior vice president or something.
Yeah, yeah, he wasn't the president yet. Yeah,
and he came out, and the line that stuck in everybody's mind was, "My name is Reggie. I'm here to kick ass and play games. Oh no, no, so kick ass and take names, but more than that, I'm here to play games." Or some is am I saying that right? Is that correct?
Dude, I don't even know.
But like. For a lot of people, they were like, "Nintendo is back!" You know, because at the time, Nintendo had been, like, relegated to being this definitely, like, third-place system with kiddie-colored controllers, you know. Yeah. And it's like, man, that guy said a swear word, which probably some of our listeners are going, like, right now, like, Vink said a swear word. Anyway, but, but like, it happened.
They allow it on prime time now.
I know. But, like, at the time, we were like, whoa, Nintendo bringing the mature content. but no, I mean, he seemed like exactly what we needed. Because, you know, Miyamoto was everybody's favorite crazy uncle. And, you know, like.
Yeah.
And, like.
Definitely not the hero we deserved.
Yeah. But he came in and he was, you know, he seemed passionate about what he was doing. And, like. Things changed at Nintendo of America at that point. You know what I mean? It started to, you know, I mean, I don't know how much of what can be attributed to what happened can actually be, you know, we can actually connect to Reggie because, you know, Nintendo of Japan makes the majority of the decisions, but the way of presenting it, you know, changed.
Right.
And like,
right.
It made gamers excited to know what was, you know, coming next. Oh, I don't know. What's your take on the whole thing?
No, I can agree with that because there hasn't been a personality really at Nintendo of America since Howard Lincoln.
Howard Lincoln,
And I credit that to, you know, Nintendo Power, of course.
Yeah.
So yeah. The having a man for the internet age was just the thing we needed.
I mean, he definitely became memes, and like a lot of people didn't. You know, like his presentation style, actually, and a lot of people. I mean, I guess I still blame him for not putting Disaster Day of Crisis out in the United States because apparently he didn't like it. And the constant mother teasing. Hold on,
yeah.
Hold on. Let me back that one up. Sequel to Earthbound. Let's do that because mother teasing does not sound like a good thing.
I didn't know it was that kind of show.
Oh man, you know people are eventually going to mash up things we say on this show. And there's a lot of out of context things that shouldn't be there. But anyway, like, but I don't know. I like the skits that he's been involved in over the years.
Sure.
Remember the one where he's fighting Iwata? Oh, Iwata. I'm sad again now. like a Smash Brothers style fight they had kind of set up with all that staging.
Yes.
There was the one where he became like a robot. There's the one where they did the claymation version where he torched a reporter asking about Mother 3, which I thought was pretty fun. Like, there's a lot of good moments. Of course, there's the awkward moments which become the funny ones, like when he made himself a zombie in the zombie U thing up on stage. When of course, the famous trying Wii Fit where he said his body was ready, which became... And I don't know, like, part of the hype for a Nintendo Direct is seeing what he's going to do. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
And I really think that is something that I hope his successor... dude, his successor is Bowser. No, seriously, if we turn this company over to the dark side?
President Bowser is the best Bowser.
I mean, yeah. Oh, man. The internet is a bad place, man. I was like, okay, oh, Doug Bowser is taking over. Let's see. Oh, hashtag Doug Bowser. Okay, there's Bowsette stuff going on here. Oh yeah, we haven't done a podcast for a while. We kind of missed the whole Bowsette thing.
Internet sure is, and yeah, That is a thing that happened.
It is a thing that happened.
I just wanted to say that I too agree that I don't know how much of Reggie can be attributed to the man himself, but it's enough to be a good sport. And if this new guy is any indication, I mean, he has a picture where he has Mario and Luigi plushies behind him. Yep. Tied up.
Yep.
Like we're off to a good start.
Oh yeah. I mean, he's dude, he was literally born for this position. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I mean, I'm very worried that, like, now that he's got control, though, he's just going to build a giant airship. I mean, I think that's the concern.
Right,
that,
right.
That's
like, everyone's joking about it now. Yeah,
that's the concern most of the stockholders have. I mean, it's like, oh, can we really afford the airship? You know, and then all his kids want to come here, too. Anyway. No.
Turns out they aren't really his kids. They're just...
Yeah, only one of them's actually his kid. It's complicated. I don't know. Like, yeah, truth is... But no, if your last name's Bowser and you're going into business, of course you're going to work for Nintendo eventually. You know what I mean?
Right, it's just a necessity.
Yeah. Oh, man. But he does seem like a good guy, but it's the end of an era. It is the end of an
era.
And
for sure.
And it's the end of, like, of what was the, you know, kind of the renaissance of Nintendo, you know, like the second golden age. Well, I guess there was kind of that dark patch in the middle.
Well, I suppose, but, like, you know, if anyone ever deserved to go out on a high note,
mean,
come on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's definitely quit while you're ahead. I mean, like... Again, it's really hard to know how much of what happened with Nintendo's success can be put on this man, but he definitely became the face of the American branch of Nintendo.
Absolutely.
And in that way, you know, when a game that people have been waiting and waiting for is there, and Reggie's, you know, wearing a lapel pin for that game and, you know, finally gives the announcement everyone's been waiting for, you know, you find yourself, you know, to make that connection with the person presenting it. And it's the same with, like, with Miyamoto came out with his Zelda shield and everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't really direct Zelda anymore, but, like, you still make that connection because that's his thing. You know, it's going to be different watching these events now. I mean, it's already different since Iwata's passing. It's already, but, like, you know, it's the band has broken up now, you know, and it's sad because, I think the new guys at Nintendo are doing very well. I've very much liked the output that's been coming out recently. I think they're making smart decisions. I think it's great, but I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought I'd have more to say on this, but I'm just, you know, deflated.
I guess. I mean, but good for him, though. You know, he's going to spend more time with family, you know.
Right, and spend more time with family playing all these great Switch games that are coming out.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly how it should be announced, too, you know?
Exactly.
And the Bowser guy, I think he's going to be cool. I think I like he's self-aware.
Uh-huh.
As he should be, as he's a human. But I mean, I think he's going to do a good job.
And now, a haiku. He went as he came, kicking ass and playing games. His body, Reggie.
So, yeah, I guess that's what I got to say about that. Let's get into some Future Retro, aka or Pile of Shame.
Ooh.
In Future Retro, we talk about contemporary video games that have the potential to be remembered as classics.
Or classics that we played for the first time. Or just more recently.
And in Pile of Shame, we talk about the games we haven't been playing, and we try to convince each other if we should.
Or not.
So, what have you been playing? I mean, we talked the whole time last time about the Nintendo Direct, so... but in those 4 months you've been away, what you been playing, dude?
Pokemon Go, mostly.
Oh, the Let's Go Pikachu,
just Pokemon Go. Going places. Yep. Now, listen, I have good reasons.
Okay, tell me your reason.
I have three kids who...
only three?
Yeah, fair. They like the video games too, so that reduces a bit of my available time. You know, the day job does tend to keep me busy, and so the free time that I do have, I've been spending preparing Famicom Dojo for its next phase of awesomeness in 2019.
Okay, I see where you're
so,
going.
So,
okay.
You know, just going hither and thither, I play the Pokemon Go, and I'm proud of myself for catching two Lunatones in the wild so far, somehow. That's been a thing that's happened. I did mention last time. Yeah, well, I was going to solo that rock. If you know what I mean. I'm sure you do, and I couldn't. And then I actually went to a gym, and I had beefed up my party and everything, and I was really going to nail it this time. And there was someone else there, so it was no problem whatsoever. But
okay,
yeah. But like I mentioned last podcast, I've been using the Let's Go Pokeball.
Okay.
With it instead of the bracelet, mostly because I couldn't find it until relatively recently, and now I don't want it anymore. having something that can auto spin the stops for you is very nice, especially if you're like in a moving vehicle.
Yeah.
Cough, wheeze.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that would be. I mean, I think that's the coolest thing about it. So, but. Don't you? I mean, right now my biggest problem when I play Pokemon Go is that I cannot hold any more items.
Oh, sure, and I've actually ended up spending money on this game finally.
Yeah,
I bit the bullet. Yeah, not to upgrade anything. It's just that the money that the coins I was saving up, I just ended up kind of using for the purpose of expanding my collection.
Yeah.
Instead, and then, you know, whenever they had some kind of event that dealt with needing to have a lot of eggs, then I would just purchase one of those mystery packs or whatever.
I mean, I think that's reasonable. I mean, I like to take a lot of pride in the fact that I haven't spent any money on the game, but it's kind of strange because I do like Nintendo, and I have enjoyed this game.
Well, you know, yeah.
So, I mean... putting a couple bucks in would not be the end of the world, you know?
To that point, it's just kind of a calculation of how much time I would
yeah.
need
yeah.
To get that many things going. And it's just like, well, you know, if I value this game, I can spend a few bucks on it. So
no, I think that's...
There we go.
I think that's very reasonable. Okay, well, have you been playing anything else?
Tetris 99.
Okay.
It helps that it is also free.
All right.
But unlike Pokemon Go, it's not so free.
Well, it's free for us because we were already paying in for something else you're not using.
Right. I'm not using it, but my kids sure are.
Okay. Well, then, you know what? So you got the family plan.
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Oh, yeah, we talked about this.
Oh, yeah, episode 154. Check it out.
Listen, it's good. So good, I almost remembered it. Okay.
That was before you had the fourth child and the mom brain set in.
I know. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, I've managed to play games in between there because, like, luckily, the newborn's still young enough that you put her down somewhere, she stays there. You know, I mean, it's like, once they start crawling, that's when the gaming kind of ends for a while, you know?
That's true.
Because true. My others have aged to the point where they're a little bit independent, and the newborn mostly sleeps. Or
yes, I remember those days.
You know, but you know, I'm going to be nearing a place soon where everything in the house is dangerous because crawling is happening. So then, you know, gaming's going to be relegated to when everyone else is sleeping again. But right now, I'm getting in a little bit. Like, it's, that's why Tetris 99 is so wonderful, because you can play it in like 3 minutes, you know, and then that's the game. You know what I mean? Like, short burst gaming is exactly what I've been doing now, which is why Switch's handheld mode with, like, the, you know, turn it off and turn it right back on to the game is the only way I can play video games at this point.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's kind of ruined me for anything else at this point.
Uh-huh.
It's true.
Yep. Like, again, I have not purchased a PlayStation 4 yet, and it's not that I don't want to. There's a lot of games on that system that I would very much like to play, but it just seems like it's not going to fit my current lifestyle.
Yes, there's something certainly seriously wrong with my lifestyle, and now I've just destroyed an intergalactic civilization.
Oh, hope no. I'm happy.
Yes. I mean, it's not a Back to the Future reference.
I get it.
But
well, you know what? We need more Hitchhiker's references, though.
Yes.
Yes.
short aside, I watched the 2005 film again for the first time in a very long time, and it mostly holds up.
Okay, I still haven't seen it.
Okay, so for those who don't know, we got Martin Freeman. We got Gary Oldman.
Yep.
We got Mos Def.
Yep.
Zoe Deschanel. I don't know how to say her name.
Yeah.
Her.
The girl from Elf. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure she's been in a million.
That's who I know her from.
I'm sure she's been in a million other things, like the new girl, but she'll always be the girl from Elf.
John Malkovich. I mean, they pumped this movie full of the names, and it is largely true to its original nature. But anyway, Tetris 99's been a lot of fun.
It didn't have Simon Jones in it. Or Peter Jones. It didn't have any Joneses.
No. The guy who does the message.
Yeah.
From Magrathea, about the missiles and stuff, I think was a Jones.
Okay, then I'll watch it. That's what I was waiting for. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I love the books. I love the TV series, and I saw a trailer for it, and I'm like, this is not my Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I've become one of those people. Oh no! I'm gonna watch it now. I feel bad. I'm gonna
you
watch
should.
It. Yeah, I'm gonna
it's
watch it. Twice.
Only 14 years old at this point.
No, it can't be that old.
It is, though.
What?
Douglas Adams was working on this film before he died.
Oh, my goodness. Douglas Adams has been dead for more than 14 years, then. Everything is in context right now.
Yes.
We did a tribute to him where we showed his naked butt.
As one does.
That maybe requires some context.
No, I think we're good. Tetris has been around longer than Douglas Adams has been dead.
Yes.
See, I brought it back there.
Yes, because
speaking of dying, I totally get killed in it because I'm no good.
Oh, too soon. Well, not too soon, I guess. But
no, it just happened a few minutes ago.
All right. What's your top? Okay. What's your top? What is your top placement? So, okay. Wait, first of all, what is Tetris 99?
Tetris 99 is a game where you play against 98 other people online at Tetris in a battle royale where you know how you like play head to head in like Tetris 2 or like the Game Boy Linked one.
You
send pieces to each other.
Yeah.
Right? So imagine that, but there's 99 of you.
Okay. Well, that makes more sense than what I was thinking. I was like, man, I had no idea there were 99 Tetris sequels already. I'm like, because I wasn't going to play it because I wasn't following the plot from 97 or 98.
Oh, goodness. So, like, you know, or like Tetris 1999.
Ooh.
We're going to party like it. I mean, it will have been 20 years since. It has been. Oh, goodness. Yeah,
it's been 30 years.
I don't want to think about that. My 20th high school reunion's this year.
It's been 35 years since Tetris was made, and it's been 30 years since we played it on the Game Boy.
Tetris could run for president and probably do a better job.
Oh, going down that alley. Okay, anyway. So, Tetris...
I'm the president of what? Nintendo, maybe.
Yeah, good...
Yeah.
Sorry, Doug Bowser. You've been replaced with Tetris. All right, anyway, Tetris 99.
It's a pretty fun game, though. I mean, you know, it's Tetris, yes, right? But, like, my favorite part about this is all the snide... articles about it, about like these homebodies, these you know, dad jeans wearing mofos who are like have found their calling.
Yep. Oh, I mean,
it's
okay.
So good.
I did not understand the appeal of the battle royale genre at all until Tetris 99.
Yeah.
I'm like Fortnite, cute. That's a nice kids game. Let the adults play Tetris 99 now. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It's awesome. It's got the throwback, because it's, you know, it's, you know, you've got your what, Tchaikovsky or whatever. Dun da 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 da. Is that him? Oh no, he's Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy. So
no. Anyway,
but you know, we got your classic Tetris music going on. And the graphics are exactly what they should be. They're simple. Mm-hmm. They're easy to see. It's clear what's going on. And I just like watching people fall before me. So what's
hear the lamentations of their women.
Yes. What's the top place you've gotten to?
23, I think. I've only really had 2 sessions.
Okay.
So far.
All right.
You know, because I can't dig too much into my Pokemon Go time.
What I really like is it starts off so, so easy, and pretty much everybody's leaving you alone unless you're, like, taking the lead right at the beginning, you know?
Right. So don't do that.
Yeah. No, that's the real strategy, is actually play very slowly at first, slowly and deliberately. But anyway, but then it'll make the announcement, like, 50 players remain, and now you're like, oh.
Right.
Okay, I'm in the top 50 now. That means...
And the first time I saw that, I was like, oh.
And then later, you know, it's going to announce... And then when it says that you're in the top 10, like, I mean, it's been progressive.
Oh, I haven't
been
there yet.
I don't know if it mentions when you're in the top 20 or not. I don't remember.
Because it gets faster. It gets so fast, though.
It gets faster. And then it's like, you're in the top 10. And I'm like, woo! And that's usually when... And during the woo moment is usually when I lose. But because it's going so fast at that point, and the people who are still remaining are these really, really good players at that point that at that point I'm just like, just make a row, any row, don't care about Tetris anymore, making a row, any row, any row, oh, and dead, you know.
Yeah,
twice now I've gotten it, like, well, no, actually, I guess I've only been in the top 5 once, but I got to 6 and 8 a few times.
Ooh.
And it's just... And you're just sitting there with this glow on your face, like, I'm better than 94 people. You know, it's just like, you know, and a lot of it is luck, too. You know what I mean? Because, like, how much you were attacked early on and things like that, you know.
And things
like that. But at the same time, it's just, it has a definite, you know, one more game and need to get this on Twitter kind of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, listeners. Are you following us on Twitter? Because if you're not, you're missing out on my Tetris scores. Okay, hold on. I'm sold. Hold on. Let me try again. I also take pictures of video game related food. Okay, well, let me try again. When I buy something, I'll take a picture of it, and then perhaps talk about it a little bit later. Ooh. I retweet a lot of people who make cleverer things than I do.
Ah, well, there you go.
No, follow us. Follow us. I'm at... Am I at Famicom Vink? I'm at Famicom Vink. And you are at Sean Orange. And you can find us both at Famicom Dojo.
That's right. You'll never know which one of us you'll run into
at
Famicom Dojo.
Yes.
It could be both of us.
It could be. It could be. That's why if you're ever chatting with us via direct message and suddenly someone goes, what? It's because the other of us has been following it before that. So, but anyway, that's how corporations work. And we are a giant corporation. No, sorry. We practice giant cooperation. That was it.
Yes, that's what you meant to say.
But anyway, follow us. Okay. Along that thing, I've competitive puzzle games. I've been playing a lot of Puyo Puyo Esports, which I'm going to talk about in another episode. But I want to talk about the game I'm playing right now. That I'm really into.
Please do.
As people who have been listening to the podcast know, I'm a fan very much of Grasshopper Manufacture as a company, and especially the series No More Heroes.
Yes. I still have not played No More Heroes 2.
It's good, but it fixed every problem that the first No More Heroes game had, but for some reason... And because of that, should be a better game than the first one, but somehow wasn't.
That's wild.
Like, the problems people had with the first one is that there was this giant open world, but very little to do in it. You know, other than, like, collecting t-shirts and things like that. So they got rid of the open world and just made it a menu where you can jump. And a lot of the mini-games weren't very fun in the first one, the ones you used to get money. So they made all these 8-bit retro video games, which are all very fun.
That sounds great on paper.
It does. And the boss battles are cool, and characters that people liked, like Shinobu, come back, you know, for the game. Like, I don't know. I think maybe it's because it was too much the same as the first game, or I don't know. Bummer. I'm not sure, because everything about it, like, on paper, it should be a better game than the first one. But I think for one thing, it had a different director. You know, Suda Goichi was not the director of the game; he was a producer.
I did not know that.
And that's the thing. He's back for this one. So
all right. Is this the wrestling game he announced? The weird, whatever that was.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean. This is... The game is called Travis Strikes Again, and the subtitle is No More Heroes. And it's distinctly not No More Heroes 3. And I think that's very important, because it is not like the other No More Heroes games. It definitely has that vibe. And it is the first game directed by Suda Goichi since No More Heroes, actually. He's been in a producer role on all those other ones, Lollipop Chainsaw, Shadows of the Damned, Killer is Dead, things like that. So this is his first time back in the director's chair, and it's a very small team that made the game. I believe it was 15 people, 15, 17, something like that. And it's very much... It is a game that has a very indie studio vibe to it.
All right.
And take that as good and bad.
Oh, no.
It's definitely a lower cost production. There's very little voice acting in it. They did get the voice actors back from the previous games, but that was added in later.
Oh.
You know, because I, you know, it is a low budget production. So a lot of the cutscenes are, well, I'll tell you what the cutscenes are. The cutscenes look as though they were made on a 286 green screen computer.
That could be good.
Which is wonderful for me.
Sure.
And maybe only for me. Like, that's the problem. Like, for me, I mean, it is, they made them that are like an old Japanese PC visual novel, is how the cutscenes play out. is wonderful, and they're witty, and they're hilarious, and they're self-referential, and I love it. I'm just grinning from ear to ear when the cutscenes come on, but I can totally see a lot of people hating them. You know,
well, those people are wrong.
Yeah. The game itself is a hack and slash game that is a little bit samey. Like, the idea of the game is that Travis has wanted to get away from everything after his assassin days, and he's living out in a trailer. And you remember Bad Girl from the first game? She was the one with the pink dress and the bat.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
You know, this is going to be a minor spoiler, so turn it off if you want to. But I mean, it's spoiled within the first 10 seconds of the game, anyway. But I mean, she was one of the assassins that you kill in No More Heroes. You know. You know. I mean, that I don't think that's much of a spoiler because that was the point of No More Heroes. You know. I mean. Yeah, so. Yeah, yeah. But Bad Girl's father hunts you down.
Ooh.
Bad Man. Good name.
Well, but I mean, yeah.
To get revenge for you killing his daughter. But naturally, along the way, Travis has somehow acquired this video game system, this cursed video game system called the Death Drive Mark II, which was never released because it caused hallucinations or whatever. They make it sound like it's kind of like, you know, all the urban legends about, like, Polybus and stuff like that. You know, like the...
Sure.
You know, that it was that the government helped and, you know.
Oh, God, that video is nuts. If you've never seen that, we'll look that in the show notes.
but anyway, it's a very cool thing, and that there's this system, and there were only 6 games made for it, and it was never released. But Travis is trying to collect these games that are stored on a spherical media, and they're called Death Balls. And there's six games, but I know that there's going to be another one because they've already hinted at in the trailer, which reminds you of, what is that? Oh, yeah, Dragon Ball. And just like it, if Travis is able to complete all of these games, which he gets sucked into when the game goes on.
Sure.
Much like the plot of Dragon Ball, they'll be granted one wish. And Travis, feeling regrets from his assassin days, he's going to go along with trying to resurrect Bad Girl. Now, I have not beat the game yet, so I do not know if he's successful. I'm on game number 4 right now.
It doesn't matter, though, because that sounds amazing.
It is. It's a really cool story. Now, again, the story is mainly told through these old-looking cutscenes and these things that look like found video footage of, like, Travis being interviewed about his time. You know, like, it's got a lot of the same tropes from the original games. Toilets are the save places, you know, as they should be. Don't worry. If you didn't play No More Heroes 2, there's almost no real connection there. It really is a game that you can just play No More Heroes 1. You don't have to play any of the No More Heroes games because enough of it's explained. But, like, for you, Sean, if you wanted to try this, you wouldn't need to beat No More Heroes 2. You could jump right into this one.
Okay.
But
all right.
But anyway, but since you have the Bad Man character as well, and this is something I haven't been able to play yet, you have 2-player co-op you can do for the game. Now, you still have Beam Katana, but it's done as kind of like an overhead perspective game, and each game is kind of similar. You're just going around slashing people, but each one has its own gimmick. Like, one of them takes an overhead view, kind of like the early Grand Theft Auto games. But you can move parts of it's a city map, and you can move parts of it around to get to the final goal. So it's like hack and slash with puzzle elements. And another one has like a car racing mini game in it. And another one has, is kind of like a side view. So it plays like a platformer called the game's Coffee and Donuts, where you're collecting coins and things. It's almost like a Mario take on the thing, but you've still got your Beam Katana. Which still needs to be charged by, you know, by an inappropriate gesture, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got to shake it. You got to shake it to charge it. But, like,
be that kills your money.
The main complaint for the game is that there was an opportunity to have, like, 7 really unique games, but they're all kind of the same game but with a different gimmick. But it does get a bit repetitive. I won't lie. But at the same time, I find it very satisfying, and I really like how the story is told. It's very strange. There's people, or there, you know, you're interacting with the video game system itself and the bosses of the different games, you know, their personifications, and it's really exploring kind of the ideas of whether Travis is the hero or not, or whether he's killing heroes.
Sure, okay.
Or whether heroes even exist anymore, if there are, may we say, no more heroes. No, it's
that's
it's,
good.
It's good, but like at the same, it's funny. It's not so, you know, it's definitely pretentious. Like, this is definitely like, this game must have started as a Suda51's live journal entry. You know what I mean? Because right. It references his previous work and the idea of what's an indie game and what's a mainstream game. It's hard for me to recommend, because I think if anybody's going in expecting like a pure action game or something like that, I think they're going to be disappointed. But if you're looking for something that is incredibly unique, and especially if you like the style of, you know, Grasshopper Manufacture to begin with, I'm really enjoying it. Like, I really, really like it. The price is right. The physical is $40, which includes the season pass.
Ooh.
Or $30 on the eShop without the season pass. But, like, the season pass is... You know, it's not a spoiler since you find out on the back of the box, but you'll have playable Shinobu coming up.
All right.
And an additional Death Drive game. So, and apparently, and I haven't finished it yet, but apparently, and I don't know the ending, so I can't spoil it, but apparently it leads into a third No More Heroes.
All right.
So I hope it sells well enough to do that, because, like... Even if this isn't the game for, you know, listeners out there, even if this isn't the game that you've been waiting for, even if you don't buy it, there won't be the game you've been waiting for. Do you know what I mean? Like,
there will, as you say, be no more.
Yes.
No more heroes.
Exactly. It's time for you to be a hero and buy this game. Because if not, these game designing heroes won't be able to make the next No More Heroes. And so there will be No More Heroes.
There will be heroes. No more.
But I don't know. Like, I guess. I mean, I said it, I guess, kind of like a review. I haven't beat it yet, so I don't know. But like, there's FMV sequences too.
What?
Really weird ones. And like
those are my favorites.
With live action actors, and there's also like anime style cutscenes. Like, each game has its own kind of thing, you know. It's just in some cool pixel art on some parts, some cool chip tunes on other parts, some like Enka singing on other parts. Like, it's just very, very I like it. And I think you should play it, Sean, because I know you played the original and liked the original No More Heroes. So you should play it. And for anyone else, you know what? Actually, every negative thing I said about it is wrong. It's a great game. Sean, I'm going to get them to buy it so I get No More Heroes 3. Don't tell them. Don't mention the war.
But Vink, how will I play it when I have no more money?
Ooh. Well, I mean, you've got
I haven't gotten Smash Brothers yet.
You've got a little bit of money now, I'm sure. And I mean, by buying more games, you might reduce the number of digits of the amount of money you have until there are no more zeros. I'm sorry.
I don't have any money, but I do have a nice bathroom.
Oh. That's true, but
it is true.
But
use as my save point.
Yes, that's true.
So that if I run out of money in the future, I can go back to a time when I had money.
But if you, since the Switch is a portable, you can save while being in a physical save point.
Oh, Lord. This is getting too confusing.
Okay. But no, I mean, like, even if you're not going to play it, you should buy this one.
That, okay, right. For the cause.
For the cause, yes.
All right.
I mean, I really think, like, if people don't buy games like this won't be made anymore.
Right.
And I know it should not be our responsibility to keep games like this getting made, but, like, the reality of the situation is, and I mean, you've seen the response Anthem is getting, right?
No, actually.
Oh,
is it not positive?
It is not positive. I think its Metacritic score right now is about 60.
Woof.
And like after Mass Effect Andromeda, I'm really worried about BioWare. I think Papa EA is going to take them for a walk.
Oh no.
I mean, you know, all the other studios that they've bought, if they can't generate a hit right away, you know. And BioWare's had several years and a few chances, you know what I mean? And that's, yeah. That's the thing.
It hurts, man.
You know, but...
It hurts to think about.
I know, but, I mean, that's I don't know. I'm not saying that people should go buy Anthem to support BioWare, because, really, Anthem isn't what made BioWare BioWare. You know what I mean?
Right,
Anthem
right.
is what happens when BioWare's chasing the market that EA wants them to have, you know? But at the same time, as negative as we are, like, I don't know, though. Because if you buy the game, then that tells BioWare, oh, people don't like narrative-focused games.
I know, right? It's a trap.
Yeah, it is totally a trap. But if you don't buy it, then BioWare just becomes like a division of EA making microtransactions for other games. So
and you guys, I really want to play Dragon Age 4. So
yep,
get on it.
Yeah,
not me though. I
that's another topic though. I mean, all the people who lost their jobs from Activision recently. That's something we should talk about at some point. But okay, let's end on a positive note.
Yeah, let's.
I've been playing a lot of games lately. I really have. I've been able to just because. I mean, it's because of the Switch.
Yeah.
I'll have a sleeping baby on my lap, and my Switch. You know what I mean? It's something
sure.
I can do right now. And then when the baby wakes up, I can pause instantly. Unless I'm playing Tetris 99, and then I just wind up 99. You know what I mean? But like,
oh yeah.
But like, it's kind of wonderful in that way. And the Nintendo Direct last time has really inspired me that there's a lot of cool stuff on the way. And I'm also looking forward to playing all the cool stuff that's on the PlayStation 4 as retro games in the future. For like when my kids have grown up. I can't wait to discover all the classics I missed. Because there's a lot of really good games. But again, it is not... I seem to be having trouble managing my lifestyle.
Yep, and there goes another Galactic Civilization.
Don't!
Again. I know, you really got to be careful about what you say.
We do.
Do you have a question for Famicom Denshi Mail? Tweet us at Famicom Dojo with the hashtag Denshi Mail. Call us at 608-492-1923 and leave us a voicemail that we can play on the podcast or in a new video response. Leave a comment on this episode or one of our other videos. Or if you just want to share your own future retro or pile of shame, you can even send us a link to your YouTube video to be added to our official Denshi Mail playlist. Head over to famicomdojo.tv/podcast for more details. I just kind of, before we head off, just want to address the rumors about Microsoft going third party, basically.
Oh my goodness.
And bringing a lot of that stuff to the Switch. So I guess it started with the Xbox Live Pass.
Yep.
Being available for non-Microsoft stuff.
Yep. And but I mean, at first everyone was just,
yeah.
Everyone was like, yeah, it's Minecraft. It's about Minecraft. Yeah, yeah, it's about Minecraft.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But now we're like talking like, oh, we're going to get first party titles like Halo. And they're like, whoa, 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 what?
I just want Cuphead.
Right, Cuphead.
That wasn't really a first party title, but it was kind of a Microsoft exclusive. I mean, it's on PC as well, but like, Game Pass.
So is everything else in Xbox One?
Oh, Game Pass. Not interested in any way. Nope.
Right.
Because I don't need another subscription service. And for the most part, Microsoft is not making the type of games that I'm interested in. I'm very interested in Cuphead. But, like, okay. For the most part, you know, you've got your Halo, you got your Gears of War, you got Forza. Am I saying that right? The car
race. Sure you are. Yeah. Why not?
You know, there's stuff like that. Now, if Rare starts making those type of games again, you know what I mean? Like,
that would be the get, right? It's been nearly 15 years since Rare made anything that I've enjoyed playing.
Did you play Viva Pinata?
Oh, it there's that. No, I haven't. Bad. I didn't get a chance.
Bad. It was not bad.
No, I mean, but I just remember Perfect Dark Zero.
Yeah, yeah.
Bad times.
Well, you're the only one who remembers it, so. Ouch. Or what was the other one? The RPG-ish game? It was originally announced for the GameCube and then the Xbox and then the... Oh, I can't even remember what it was called anymore. Female Protagonist. Right.
Was it called Female Protagonist?
It was called Female...
That probably didn't help. It's
Female
chances.
Protagonist! Yes. No, it was called... Oh, no. Now this is going to bother me. All right. Oh. I will remember it with the internet. but you know, I really think that when it, you know, there could be some good stuff, you know, there. And yeah. For users who aren't me, which are, I've heard, the majority of the users...
Yes, I've heard that too.
Halo, Gears of War, these things, they're big gets because they are serious. Like, we don't even have that type of game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because third parties are completely ignoring, you know, for like, there's been no Call of Duty until very recently, not an Assassin's Creed, Tomb Raider, things like that. So, like, to have these type of games is a big get, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And could do well for both the Switch and... But the thing is, like, it makes me worried that, like... I don't know. I don't like the idea of streaming platforms.
Sure.
Because I, as you know, I'm a preservationist. And if games are available only as a streaming thing, there is no physical anymore. And not even that, there's no even download. You know, they exist only on someone's servers. Like, that's the idea is not that they were going to port the games to the Switch, but that it would be a streaming platform.
Mm.
Kind of like
whatever, yeah.
Whatever that was called. So, Cameo, Elements of Power.
That's right.
I suddenly remembered it.
I'm sorry I wasn't there with you. I am there now.
Yeah. Cameo, Elements of Female Protagonist. I hear they're hard to animate. Anyway.
Woof. Oh,
wow, that's years ago now, isn't it? Like a lot of years ago.
It is.
My goodness. Anyway, I don't know if I'm interested at all in the whole Games Pass thing, but if it leads to, you know, maybe Nintendo, you know, Microsoft goes, you know what? Let's let Rare, you know, get like that Banjo-Kazooie everybody wants made now. Or, I don't know. But are there even people at Rare that were involved in the original games? Like, I feel like it's been too long. You know what I mean?
It has been much. They're all retired, like Reggie.
That's true. Reggie. Hey, way to call it back.
I know, right?
Whoa, that... Oh, wow, it would be so much better if we didn't call attention to we... Tweet? Tweet? Okay, I think it's time to go, Sean.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, once again, for listening to the Famicom Dojo video game podcast. It's nice being here with you, talking about the video games.
Yes.
And hopefully it's nice listening to us ramble on about unrelated TV shows.
I mean, it's related, at least in a way, that we got there. But yeah, I get you.
Speaking of unrelated TV shows, if everyone hasn't seen Russian Doll yet, it's only like 8 episodes. Just do yourself a favor.
And watch The Good Place.
Yeah, do that too.
You should watch The Good Place.
Yeah. Do that too. I recommend that highly.
Yep. All right.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. Wrap it up.
Wrapping it up. Tonight's also the Oscars, so that's funny.
Oh. I mean, the Oscars have been over for a week.
Weeks and weeks.
Weeks and weeks, yes. I mean, because these are always recorded the day we release them.
Absolutely.
Sean,
which is why we didn't
us.
Mention all those things that have happened since the Oscars that are also newsworthy in the video game industry and we totally knew about but chose not to discuss.
Oh, dude, by the time this comes out, it's going to be like the Microsoft Switch or something. Like, it's... we've doomed ourselves now that we try to
have
be
you
timely.
Seen, have you seen those Dreamcast... Like the Xbox 360 style Dreamcast controllers.
Whoa, what? No.
It's, we'll talk about that later.
Okay. All right.
20 years too late, but you know.
Follow us on Facebook and MySpace.
God. Is Friendster still cool?
Friendster.
Was Friendster ever cool?
Follow us on. What all the kids watch today?
Snapchat.
Follow us on Snapchat. Hashtag Snaptag Famicom Dojo.
Do they even use hashtags on Snapchat? I don't think that's how that works.
I don't know.
Oh my god.
Get off my lawn.
All right. Yeah, it's all about next time.
Talk about most things.
The Famicom Dojo video game podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Theme songs One More Continue and RPG were written and performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes or amaritones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Sled Judson at lewisstrations.co.uk. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded.
Famicom Dojo.